eternal God who lives outside of time and stands supreme over all creation. We, your creatures, come to you recognizing that anything we say or do, anything we give to you, this breath that we are even using to sing and pray right now, this heart that we offer to you is nothing more than what you have already made, and it already belongs to you. Lord, there is nothing on the earth below or the sky above that is not yours, that is not the beautiful, intricate creation of your own hand. So Lord, we surrender this to you. You who is working everything to the counsel of his own will, who has made the end known from the beginning, who will once again, one day, take this creation that our hearts ache in knowing that it is not as it should be. And Lord, you will recreate. Oh, Lord, hasten that day. Now, as we turn to your word, would you let us see the glory in your creation? That we might get a glimpse of you, this creation that is making manifest the invisible characteristics of its creator. Father, would you let us see you in the world around us? Would you open our eyes in new ways to this beauty of your creation that cries out, I have a creator. May we be just as boldly and openly and unmistakably declaring that same message. We pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Children, you are dismissed for children's church. We do have a special guest this morning. He describes himself as a creation evangelist. Do I have that phrase correct? Creation evangelist. And normally we wouldn't consider those two things going together, but the evangelist we usually consider part of the gospel. Did you know the gospel actually begins with creation? There is a creator, made you and me. Perfect. Now I'm not gonna steal your thunder, Steve, but I am very excited to hear what Steve has to say this morning. We were originally planning to have in October, and God orchestrated things to it being today. I'm very grateful for that. I was on the road until the wee small hours, well, almost wee small hours of this morning, coming back from New York from a conference because I was so excited to hear what Stephen had to say. I wanted to be here. I wanted to hear it. It is that important. It is that significant. And it is that important for our day. I can remember I went to a Bible college, a Christian college. Just in brief, why this is so important, okay? And one of my first classes, my professor asked me why I believe what I believe. And most of it was, well, this is what I've been told. I went to a Christian school. I went to church anytime the doors were open. I was an Awana student. I had tons of scripture in my mind. And he goes, yeah, but what if I don't believe the Bible? Now what? I don't know. And a Bible college professor then proceeded to completely dismantle my faith. Now, he was doing it not maliciously. He was doing it so that he could build it back with better evidence and better arguments than because the Bible says. Because for you and I, that's important. This is the book we live our life by. But to people outside looking in, that's not strong. Why is this important? As he continued to dismantle my faith, I curl into a puddle in the corner and suck my thumb and call my mom and dad, come and get me, I'm in the wrong place. It is through having this knowledge, this wisdom, that we can actually have an impact in the world around us, that we can stand with faith. Because if that is a Christian college professor, imagine what our children are going to be facing with non-Christian high school teachers, college professors, bosses, coworkers, community members. We are told to do our best to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, to have an answer for the hope that lies within us. The hope that lies within us starts with the fact of creation. So as Brother Steve comes, I also want to invite you tonight at 6 o'clock. We have a special session where, if I understand correctly, you'll dive more into the scientific evidence that is available to us, where I think tonight you're kind of diagnosing the problem. Or this morning you're diagnosing the problem. Tonight you're providing the solution. Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Good. And I hope tonight you come back, every one of you. I know, Sunday evening, you got football. Trust me, the scores will be online later. This is a unique opportunity to impact the rest of your life, because I still don't remember the Steelers score from the first game last year. But I have conversations on a regular basis where this is important, this is valid, and this is significant. So I want to encourage you, each one of you, this evening to hear what Steve has to say. Brother Steve, you come up and share.
All right, good morning. It's good to be back. I was here 2 or 3 years ago, and I know there's some new folks here. And I live in North Carolina, close to Asheville. And how many's been to that area of North Carolina? So it's a beautiful area. You guys live in an awesome area here. I just enjoyed coming up yesterday. And beautiful sunset last night, and I said to myself, it's just amazing what 4 billion years has created. So, thank you, Not. How many of you are here for, actually, would you stand up one more time just to get some more oxygen? If everybody would stand up one more time, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And don't just stay standing. So if you were here for Sunday school, have a seat. If you were here for Sunday school, have a seat so pastor can see who wasn't here for Sunday school. So, yeah, thank you very much. You can have a seat. So as I put the PowerPoint up, it's called morning service, I think. And how many enjoyed Sunday school this morning? And I thank God for that. That's all the Lord. That's all the Lord, not me. But he just uses this vessel. And so... Yep, let me turn this thing on. So, can I move this up here so I can see what I'm doing? I'm just going to come down here. All right. And hopefully I won't trip. So I do have some resources back there, and that's really why I'm here. I'm a bookseller. Thank you. Who's the not person over here that's doing a good job? Okay, Pastor is. Okay. And so I do bring resources because... how many of you remember everything I said last time I was here, word for word? Yeah, of course. So, you know, resources are for you to have forever, and we need to unignorant ourselves, right? Because the church is really ignorant a lot of times in these areas of creation and evolution, and just as Pastor did a very eloquent job in priming the pump about how important this stuff really is, and you'll see why in just a moment. So please do, this thing just stopped working for some reason. Okay, can you push the right arrow to advance it one time and maybe it'll wake up. There we go, hopefully. All right, so our website is genesisseminars.org. And how many of you know another pastor somewhere? I've never asked that question in 15 years of time. You know another pastor of another church somewhere? If you do, share my information with them, because I spend a whole lot of time on the phone, and I want to get off the phone sometimes, and it'd be nice to get a phone call sometimes. But anyway, genesisseminars.org. We live in, like I said, near Asheville. We're kind of in the middle of nowhere. We love it. Let me go ahead and introduce some of my wife's family to you before I forget. And that's why I travel alone. So, and y'all laugh at that, but you know, there's a lot of, and I'm not against education. We really need to really get the education when it comes to creation evolution issues. But I'm not against PhDs. I mean, I got two in my barn, but I want to really encourage you to be in the know when it comes to this stuff. But there's a lot of PhDs out there, very smart people, way more smarter than me, and that's okay. But they believe that we came from monkeys. And it's really sad that people that look through microscopes at DNA, which has, when you look at through a microscope at DNA, you know that stuff we're made of, right? That's really, 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 really complex. And it's screaming God's creation. Romans 1:20 says it's clearly seen. You just tune in that microscope and it's clearly seen that God created us. Amen? But they deny that. Please pray for her grandmother. She's not well today at all, and so she would appreciate some prayer. All right, let's go to John chapter 18. If you have your history book this morning, John chapter 18, 37. And what does it say here in John 18, 37? The question is, why did Jesus come to the earth? In a couple of months, we're going to be celebrating, 3 months, we're going to be celebrating Christ's birth. Why did he come as a baby to the earth? John 18, 37, this is right before the crucifixion, and Jesus is staring at Pilate in the face. They're talking, and Pilate says to him, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Well, you say I'm a king, and here's why I was born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the what?" Key word today, truth. Truth. "And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And then Pilate asks him an amazing question. Pilate says, "What is truth? What is truth?" And so Pilate, in essence, reminds me of the world. And of course, Jesus. And here we are Christians, right? Born again, hopefully you're born again Christian, not just Christian in name. But the world is staring at us in the face, and they're watching us, aren't they? And seeing if we're really a true sold out Christian, you know, a born again Christian. They want to know, you know, they have questions of what is truth, what is truth, what is truth. We see a world of confusion today. You know, I mentioned in Sunday school, if you were here, that there are two kinds of sciences. There's a real science and a fake science. Man, y'all are really Baptist. You know, there's nobody in the front. What's going on here? I just noticed that. So anyway, I'll have to come way back here then. So what is truth? And, you know, people want to know, you know, and I make this statement not to offend anybody, really. I like to laugh. You like to laugh? I mean, laughter is created by God, right? To make us feel good. It releases those, I think they're called endorphins or whatever that stuff is. It makes us feel good. And boy, we live in a sad world, don't we? Look at this world we're in. It's a mess, you know? And laughter, not a bad thing. Makes us feel good. But, you know, people want to know when, you know, about this virus. Is it a virus or not a virus? Is it a vaccine or is it not a vaccine? Should we wear a mask or not wear a mask? And I know there's people wearing masks in here. That's okay. Okay. Everybody's entitled to whatever they want to do. But, you know, I want to be on the road to demask us personally, don't you? Like Paul, right? I want to be on the road to demask. Anyway. So, what is truth? I don't know. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but what is truth? It's in your hand, and we described it in Sunday school in many ways. My favorite way is it's a history book, isn't it? It's a book of history. How many of you have been to Israel before? Raise your hand if you have been to Israel. What year did you go?
2018.
18, so not too long ago. What year did you go? 83? You wouldn't recognize it now. Boy, talk about prophecy. It has flourished. It's amazing. It has certainly been very, very blessed, as you wouldn't recognize it. I went in 97, and then I went two or three other times since then in the past 5 years. And it's a blessing if you can go. But I know you were very disappointed, and you were too. When you went, I'm sure you didn't recognize anything that you read about all your life, and you kind of wanted to just get right back on the plane because you didn't have a good time, did you? Not at all. And so when you went to places, you said what? It's a three-letter word. Wow, 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 right? And so you're seeing the Bible come alive when you're there. You see, you recognize places that you've read about, of course. So you see God's world, don't you? And you see God's word match. This is a history book, isn't it? Because we can go through the Old Testament And we can go to, and because this is our, like, treasure map, isn't it? And you can go to Israel and find things that the Bible has talked about. So, Mom and Daddy, how do we know the Bible's true? Because I say it's true. No, Pastor just talked about that. How do we know the Bible's true? Because the preacher says it's true. No, how do you know the Bible's true? Go get a shovel and go to Israel and dig up the truth for yourself, literally. So I've been there a few times, and when I go, I'm always kind of looking around on the ground and seeing if I can find something, and I found a few things, and so I have my little treasure trove back at home. But anyway, stuff that's dated back to Christ's life. But anyway, so I went 3 years ago. I went 3 years ago, and for 2 weeks, I was a caveman. Boy, it was fun. Are cavemen real? You're looking at one. What's a caveman? A man that lives in a cave. What's an ape man? That's Hollywood, isn't it? Sure, absolutely. So for 2 weeks, man, it was so much fun. And one day, I came out of my cave, and I did the caveman stretch because I was so sore, and I was looking down at the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth. Beautiful. Across from the Dead Sea, the mountains of Jordan. And just below me, about 200 yards to the left down here, was another cave that the story goes, a shepherd boy lost a sheep, and so he didn't want to go in the cave, I guess. Maybe he was afraid, I don't know, but he throws a rock in there and hears a crash, and then he goes in to see what it was, and what did he discover? The Dead Sea Scrolls. And then just to the right of that cave, beyond it a little bit, is a community, the ruins of this community where these people called the Essenes were, they lived, and they were the copy machines, right? They copied down the Bible and on scrolls, rolled them up, put them in jars, and in the caves where us cavemen were looking for these scrolls and jars. So I was part of a team of other cavemen, and it was so much fun. We didn't find any scrolls in that time we were there, but we did find Moses' bones, so it made the trip worth it. Yeah, that would have been pretty neat. So, but we were looking for history, that word right there, history, right? And so part of this trip, my brother and his wife were with me, and we're driving around Israel. We had a little bit of time, so we were driving around, and we wanted to go to a place I wanted to go to. And we get lost, so I guess it runs in the family. We get lost, and we park the car where we think this place might be, and it's in the middle of nowhere, nobody's around. Beautiful part of Israel, southern Israel, and we park the car, we start walking up this little mountain, and all of a sudden, we start seeing these ruins, and we're thinking, hey, maybe we found it, finally. And out pops this man and his wife. They were in their mid to late 60s, and nobody else around. Here's this couple, and the man says, my wife and I are getting ready to make some tea. Would you like to join us? And we're like, tea among these ruins. So he gets out his backpack, whips up some tea. We're having tea and crackers. And he says, me and another fellow, I'm an archaeologist, and this other fellow, a friend of mine, archaeologist, we just discovered this place about 15 years ago. And I'm like, you're kidding me. And he says, yeah. And just look down at the valley down here, just below us. Beautiful valley. And he says, there's another mountain on the other side of not huge mountain, but mountain. And he says, look down there, right about in that area, that's about where Goliath was. So we're like, we found it. We are at the place the Bible talks about. Saul set up his encampment on one mountain, the Philistines were on the other, and you know the story. Mom and Daddy, how do we know the Bible's true? Well, I'm standing on truth, really. Archaeology. Now, there's a fake archaeology, there's a fake biology, and a fake astronomy, and so on and so forth. But we are standing on God's world, and it agrees with God's word. So, folks, how do we know the Bible's true? Real science agrees with it. So, March of 2020, I was supposed to go back to Israel just north of Jerusalem at a place called Shiloh, where the tabernacle stood. And there's a huge dig going on there, and they're finding all kinds of stuff, hundreds of thousands of pieces of history, coins with people's faces on them that are in the Bible. So over and over again, I didn't go because COVID hit and I couldn't go, but next year I believe I'm going back to northern Galilee and doing a dig, but it's just fun. But you're literally digging up truth. You really are. And so we can't, you know, we shouldn't just say the Bible's true because I say so. Real history agrees with it. We can't really say, we shouldn't say evolution's not true without knowing why it's not true. That's why you need to be here at 6 o'clock, the best place in the world. Everything else we do, a lot of stuff we do, is worldly and is going to perish, and it's just for the using. It's worthless. But when you're educated on the truth, and you can change your world for eternity. How can I turn these people into an amen church? I don't know what I can do. But I don't know.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. All right. This is my amen corner right there. Okay. Good enough for me. All right. So what do we get out of our Bible? What's the Bible for? What are we learning? Is it relevant? Of course it's relevant. Okay. It's not outdated. It's relevant for today. What do we get out of the first 11 chapters? We get our doctrine from there. Where we came from 4.2 billion years ago, nothingness, and we are nothing and we're going to nothing. Isn't that what it talks about? No, that's evolution. That's assumption. That's, I don't know what you call it, a lot of imagination. This book talks about in the beginning. We just sung a song. I love the music, the singing, awesome. We do that. That's one purpose we come to church, just to magnify our maker. And so what do we get out of the first 11 chapters? Where we came from? In the beginning. In the beginning, God created. That's good enough for me. Anything else you're going to tell us? I don't know. Good enough for me. And our neighbors are going to a burning hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. While we say, that's good enough for me and I don't need to know anything else. No, that's wrong. We got to get beyond what's good enough for me, because your neighbor doesn't give a rip about your Bible. They don't care about your church or your Bible or your religion. You're a bunch of quacks. And that's what the world says of us. When we say the Bible says so, they're going to write you off as a nut. Am I right or wrong? That's the world today. They don't care about your religion to them. So that's why I encourage our young people, and as we train up our children in the way they should go, they're not saying the Bible says so all the time, especially in schools and other places. They should say, well, let me tell you, let me show you some real scientific evidence of why it's true. And so creation, lots of verses on that. Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. And you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Other verses talking about for his good pleasure. And these doctrines are being compromised everywhere. These doctrines are compromised in seminaries all over America, schools, just as he talked about, pastor just talked about, okay? Although your teacher was doing a good, sound like a good job to prime the pump and just kind of get you going. But there are colleges out there that really do, Christian so-called colleges, that tear the Bible apart. They rip out stuff they don't want and jam the stuff in there that they want on evolution and all that. But marriage is another doctrine that's being compromised today. When you watch that square thing in your living room that we got rid of in 2002, we're so glad, and we're still alive. It's amazing what you can do without, like, you know, zombie and homosexuality is okay and abortion is okay and, you know, marry what you want and who you want. And there's 4,972 genders now, or 73, I forget, you know. But my Bible says two. Two, and here's truth. And he answered and said unto them, haven't you read that he which made them at the when, beginning millions of years ago? Tonight at 6 o'clock, I'm going to talk about beginning. Very, very, very important that you be here tonight. Made them male and female. Everybody say male and female. That's normal. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. Say father and mother. That's normal, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And, you know, we're told by the higher-ups, you can't say that, that's not politically correct. And we see in Dollar Tree and other places and businesses, you see all gender signs. What a disgrace, what a shame. How, that's sin, that's sin, that's not normal. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm preaching. That's not normal. This is normal. You're preaching hate. No, I'm preaching, thus says the Lord. thus says God. You know, that's what the prophet said to the people. This is what God wants you to do. Thus says God. That's hate. No, take it up with him. He made the rules of right and wrong. And when you go to the polls in a few weeks, we as born-again Christians, we push buttons, don't we? We should be pushing buttons. We should be pushing buttons that say, this candidate, whoever it is, they're pro-life. They're pro-traditional marriage. And I'm voting for that person because they stand for truth, not to save us some tax money. Okay? Sin is another doctrine. Yeah, I drive on the highway. And you do too, and people come behind you, and you just want to do things that aren't Christian. I know that. But, yeah, we're all sinners. And his mercy's renewed every morning that we are not consumed. And sin, chicken, egg, right? Chicken first, then the egg. So we got sin first, and then what comes after sin? Death. Last Sunday was the day, wasn't it? When we memorialized 3,000 people that woke up one morning, went to work, and were in eternity a few hours later on 911. They woke up, had breakfast, didn't know what was going to happen that day, of course, right? Only God knows the future, but in eternity. We're all going to die. That's a fact. No argument there. Are you ready to meet your Creator and give an answer? Death. People don't understand this, and they say, you know, the Holocaust, where was God? 9-1-1, where was God? People are at a funeral, and there's a little tiny coffin, and there are little babies in there. We had a girl at our church a few weeks ago, had a baby, went home, everything was great. Next morning, baby's died. She's struggling. And then the father just passed away 2 weeks ago, suddenly. So she's struggling. Is there a God? And people shake their fist at God when stuff like this happens, and they say, some God of love you are. Why did you do this? They blame God. Atheists blame God too, don't they? Think about this. An atheist, I've met atheists before in church. Maybe you're sitting there today and thinking, yeah, I'm one too. I'm just here because I'm made to come here. I'm just here checking stuff out. Is there really a God? Romans 1 talks about the fact that things are clearly seen. You go out in nature and you see a leaf insect. Why does a leaf insect look like a leaf? Because you see purpose and design and order and complexity. You see God all over it, don't you? That's why they're going to be without excuse in that day. People are going to appear before God and are going to say, I've shown you all your life that I exist, but you looked at the evidence, you looked at the proof, you looked at the truth, but you walked away, you were willingly ignorant. You did not want to believe because you wanted to go your own way. That's what we see today. And it goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15. So if you're an atheist, I love you, God loves you. John 3:16, he sent his son to die for you. But in Romans 1, it says you're suppressing the truth. You see God through your eyes all over nature, but you suppress the truth. We are created with the knowledge of God. Everybody is. But what people do is they suppress that truth. So look, when people deny there's a God and they have trouble with this, say, look, let me tell you the story. You're talking about history, right? Talking about Adam and Eve, and everything was good, but they were given a choice to obey him or not obey him. Of course, they blew it, they sinned, and we're all going to die because of it. That's not God's fault. But that's the bad news, isn't it? Sin and death. But we got the good news. Why is it that only 5% of the church is not sharing the best news in the world? The gospel. Yep. The gospel does start from the very first verse of the Bible. It really does. If you look in the Hebrew, it's amazing what's there if you just look. But Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So here's the promise from God to Adam and Eve, even though they blew it, they sinned, for God so loved Adam and Eve too. So he goes all the way back there, and God says, Adam and Eve, I still love you, messed up, but I've got a plan. Here's my plan. I'm going to send somebody to earth one day that's going to forgive you of your sin. They look forward by faith through their works of the sacrificial system. I believe we'll see Adam and Eve in heaven because by faith they look forward to that day when Christ came. Clothing is another doctrine, and I'm glad for that one for sure. So we are not related to animals like television and movies and fake science says we are. We are God's special created human beings. And here we see the Jehovah Jireh, God provides those covering for Adam and Eve. But we are related to mankind, and it took a man to redeem us. And his name is Jesus. Psalm 11:3. So I've just shared some of the foundational doctrines. Foundations, right? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What do you think the devil's main job is? Look at the world war. The war's all around us, folks. The world is at war. I'll be 58 in November. I mean, I haven't lived that long, but I don't ever remember a day like today. And so we see that the devil, I believe he knows his time is short, and he's attacking the foundations of Christianity, of God's word, of Genesis, as you'll see. Our children, you're thinking, well, they're growing up in church, they're maybe at a Christian college or a Christian school or homeschooled, they're getting these foundations of the Bible, but are we teaching them why the Bible's true and how we know it's true, not just because we say it's true? Then they go off to a secular college. By the way, our young people here today, the children, youth, they are the best missionaries in the world. And they're going to schools that are the best mission fields in the world. And they have to be ready so with a foundation that they won't be moved. But what happens is they have a crisis of faith because of the three P's: peer pressure, professors, and pride. Pride, number one. It really goes back to an individual's pride. But they have peer pressure. And then they have professors that are, saying that, the Romans chapter 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they should be respected, young people. Your teachers should be respected. They should be prayed for and honored because of their hard work. But they don't know everything. And your parents don't know everything, right? And your pastor doesn't know everything. I don't know everything. But I know somebody that knows everything and that doesn't make any mistakes. We all make mistakes. And so we have to realize, wait a minute, my professor might be wrong. But they teach evolution. And they have so many degrees on their wall in their office. They have a temperature every day, but they don't know everything. And we need to remind our children, look, go back to God's word. Every word in here is true. And real science. And so, unfortunately, they're being taught a lot of fake science, and all of us are. So here is the problem. It's huge. We have two worldviews, one with God, one without God. The one without God, on the left, evolution as the foundation. There's no God. Do what you want. Make up your own rules of right and wrong. And so what's wrong with abortion and pornography and racism and homosexual behavior and all this stuff we're dealing with today? There's nothing wrong with all that. Whatever feels good, do it and all that stuff. And then we're under attack. The church is under attack. Here's the church right here. And we have the foundation of creation, but it's under attack through, everywhere, museums and textbooks and the Medianites and everything else. And then here we are as Christians and we're asleep. Y'all are doing pretty good. Y'all are awake. Good. But the church is asleep. You're not paying attention when you're watching the History Channel or Discovery Channel or reading a textbook. You're just taking it at face value that it's true science, and it's not. We've got to wake up and realize, wait a minute, what are we being told? Tonight I'm going to show you the difference of how to recognize the real and fake science. And then here's a couple of church people, and they're fighting, over the color carpet or what deacon to vote for and all that stuff, and churches are splitting, and here's a person that's just showing up Are you just a showing up Christian? And that's all you do, as long as pastor sees you, you get that credit, right? Or are you involved in the ministries here? How many of you have a gift of God? How many of you have a gift? Everybody should be raising their hand, okay? You have a gift, you have a talent, and some of you are using it up here, Sunday school and all that. But how many of us are just coming to church and doing nothing? Everybody should be going to preacher. Here's a plug for you, pastor. Hey, pastor, here's my gift and talent. Plug me in, right? What can I do? Some of you are helping out with Operation Christmas Child, and I see the bottles out there. A lot of you are doing stuff, but everybody should be doing something. Don't just be a show-up person. Stuff out in the community, too. And so here's a pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, somebody with a position in the church, and they're destroying their own foundation within the church walls, reinterpreting the Bible. Was there really a worldwide flood, folks? How do you know? That old book again, huh? Always talking about that old outdated book. That's old-fashioned. Come on, trust the science. How many of you think this is true? Raise your hand. I don't. I know it's true. I'm going to get you four more times today on that, okay? You got any scientific evidence that there was a worldwide flood? Come tonight at 6 o'clock. For the time will come, well, they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I want to say something I don't hardly ever say, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you're listening in online and you can be here. I think there's a crisis in the church today of people that should be in church bodily and that aren't. Some can't. I understand that. But I want to encourage you to be here. Can I get an amen from somebody? It's important. It's important. It's important for many reasons. That may be uncomfortable, but I'm not here to teach you. I'm not here to do that right there. I don't want to tickle anybody's ears. That shouldn't be our attitude. That's the problem of the church today. The church is in crisis in many ways. We got to get over that now. We've got to never say, let's go back to the norm. The norm's not working. It hasn't worked. I think that's, we're seeing God shaking the pot. We just sung that song about God shaking, didn't we? And that's what God, and I've been praying for 3 years, God, shake us, shake us, shake us, shake us, shake us. We haven't seen anything yet, I hope. And folks, you better be ready for the days to come in many ways. We weren't ready at 911. The church went to sleep. This is our new 911, and we better wake up. Of the children raised in your church, in your families, 88 to 90% will leave the church when they're 18. Look, folks, look around. I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many of us in this room, you have a child that's left the faith? They've left the church. They're not back in. And this is the stuff, this is the reason why. They're being taught no absolutes, evolution is true, the Bible's not true, millions of years, and we came from monkeys and all that. And the peer pressure and other things, other reasons, pride and all that. And then Monday through Friday in the school system, evolution is true, the Bible's wrong in almost every subject in schools. Almost every class, every subject. And then Saturday morning, cartoons full of evolution, and then you put them in front of that. And then they come to Sunday school and they listen to another boring Bible story. That's where we need to be careful as Sunday school teachers to teach this as real history, not just a story. Amen? Real. It's his story. Real history. This stuff really happened. Yeah, Daniel was in the lion's den. Okay? And on and on and on. So we see, of course, programming, right? Literally, programming on evolution. In dinosaur movies, talking about people and dinosaurs lived millions of years apart. Is that true? Tonight at 6, I'm going to show you why it's, whether it's true or not, okay? And then SpongeBob, don't you pick on SpongeBob. And he says, dawn breaks over the primordial sea. It's here that millions of years ago life began. And you put him in front of the programmer. and then you walk off to make supper, or do laundry or whatever, or do the dishes, and then you have become the missing link between that program and your child's spiritual future, parents and grandparents. And so if they're watching something like this, which I don't recommend, but if they're watching this, they should say, hey, Mom and Daddy, that's more of that fake science, isn't it? Because you've done your job. And then books on evolution for kids everywhere. And I want to encourage you, if you've bought your child or grandchild a book on dinosaurs, you know, I get grandmas all the time come to me after the service on dinosaurs, and like, I wish my grandchild was here. They know all about dinosaurs. They know every name. It's like, what do they know all about dinosaurs? Well, all the evolution that goes with it. And then you buy them a book on that, and you just reinforce that evolution. Throw it out. Go through your library at home. Go through your books at home. Throw them out. Because it's causing confusion. Book fairs, public schools, Christian schools. Christian schools have book fairs too. It helps them earn a little money. What comes in Christian schools? Book fairs, secular book fairs, and all the evolution with it, dinosaur books. Compromise. It's called compromise. And then zoos. I mean, we got to find out where we came from, right? Well, here's a sign. The earliest primate was probably a rat that ran along tree branches. So we evolved from a rat millions of years ago. Mom and Daddy, that's more of that fake science, isn't it? Do your job and train them so they identify it. So what is evolution doing to us? Why am I here? Why are you here? Why do we have pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers to train you, to equip you, to go out in the world and make a difference? Not just to puff up with a bunch of knowledge for you, but to start a conversation with somebody. To be intentional. You know, how many of us scream and shout at a game? And we talk to somebody about our passion of whatever worldly thing we're into, you know. That's for the using, but what's the most important thing we should be really engaged in? A heavenly thing, right? And a soul. And so what is evolution doing to us? A whole bunch. Here's three things. Materialism. That thing in your home is teaching you abortion's okay, homosexuality behavior, and all this stuff's okay, and there's no God, and live it up, party on, and that's what they were doing in Noah's day. Eating and drinking and marrying and just, you know, everything is, as you know, going on as normal and as usual. But it's teaching us what the new norm is. Folks, this is teaching us what the real norm is. And this is the most important thing we should be teaching. And it's teaching us materialism, the philosophy which says that this life is it. And this fosters relativism, no absolute moral truth. Is there absolute moral truth, folks? Huh? Where's it at? I brought it today. This is absolute truth. How many think this is true? Raise your hand. Oh, I got you again. That was easy. And this fosters relativism, you know. And so here we see a minority of born-again adults, 44% of born-again adults, 9% of born-again teenagers are certain of absolute moral truth. What is going on? You want to go back to that norm, or what should we be doing about this stuff? And then the devaluation of life. James Watson, co-discoverer of DNA, said if a child with birth defects was not declared alive until 3 days after birth, the doctor could allow the child to die if the parents choose and save a lot of misery and suffering. How many of you know who Charles Darwin was? Come on. Charles Darwin. All right. How many of you know who Adolf Hitler was? Unless you're from California, you might not. So some, a lot of people in California don't know. It's true. Okay. It's sad. How many of you know who Margaret Sanger was? Good. But everybody in here should know that Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood, creator of the Negro Project. Her strategy, eliminating the black population. She believed in removing what she called the dead weight of human waste. We don't want word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. So Margaret Sanger and Charles Darwin, they were evolutionists. If you ever meet an evolutionist, I want you to ask them, and I'm hoping to one day. say, when do we finally arrive as human beings? I want to know, when do we become 100% humans? Because if evolution is true, we're still evolving into human beings, right? I wonder what kind of answer we're going to get. And so if we're still evolving, and Margaret Sanger, Charles Darwin taught evolution and all that, and who did they influence? Who did Margaret Sanger and Charles Darwin influence? Adolf Hitler. Did y'all go into the Holocaust Museum by any chance? Okay, did you go into the Holocaust Museum, brother, to my left over here? Remember going to the Holocaust Museum? And so I've been there a couple of times, and there's a sign that's still there that says Hitler believed that the Jewish people were not fully human, they were subhuman. So why did Hitler murder 6 million of my people? Because he was taught that the Jews weren't fully human, they were evolving, and so you see what evolution's doing to our world. Margaret Sanger also said, the most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infants is to kill it. I don't know about you, but I serve a God who's pro-life, do you? Do you vote that way? And again, I don't mean to offend, but if it does, I'm sorry, but when you go to the polls, are you voting pro-life or not? Are you voting for somebody, whether it's a president or governor or senator, mayor, whatever, are they pro-life? Are they traditional family, traditional marriage? Family, certainly that word has been altered over the years, hasn't it? I mean, family, what does that mean anymore? I'm going to go back to that verse. I always like quoting it. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, and aren't we fearfully and wonderfully made? Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. How many remember Jeffrey Dahmer? A lot of us in here probably. If a person doesn't think there's a God to be accountable to, then what's the point? I always believe the theory of evolution has truth, and we all just came from slime, and when we're dead, that's it. There's nothing. That's what television teaches us, and museums and textbooks and all this stuff teaches us there's no God, so do what you want. Make up your own rules, and our children are being told they're an animal, and there's no God, and no life, you know, meaning to life, and all this stuff, and they're being bullied. And if you've ever been bullied, it's terrible. I was bullied when I was in school, many years. But what can enter their mind? Very possibly they're tired of being bullied and there's no God to be accountable to, and I'm just going to kill my classmates and I'll shoot myself and that'll be it. And I think that happened at Columbine. Do you know Eric Harris, the shooter, one of the shooters that day, wore a shirt that said natural selection? Well, who was his hero? Charles Darwin. Who said, at some future period, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. So just as he predicted, Hitler comes on the scene. And he says, I have the right to exterminate an inferior race that breed like vermin. Let me control the textbooks and I'll control the state. How many of you would say the past maybe five decades or more, maybe even more, many, many years, how many of you would say that the textbooks have been changed and altered and the Christian stuff ripped out of there because we don't want, you know, anybody to learn about these Christian scientists and historians and, you know, people that had to do with Jesus that invented things that we appreciate today. We don't want them in the textbooks. Let's rip them out or let's replace it with what? I've already said that what we see in God's world agrees with what we read in God's Word. So we have a textbook in our world, in schools, and it does agree with this Bible. And how? It does. I'm going to tell you why. How many of you would say that the textbooks have been priming us for current day stuff? All right? Read the newspaper, get on your phone, look at the news, look at the world news today, and what have the textbooks been doing over the decades to get us ready for? What we're seeing right now. And what does Revelation say? Ezekiel, Daniel, Thessalonians, Matthew 24. What is all this prophecy talking about? We're watching it right now fly off the pages of our Bibles. What is the world ready for right now? What are the world leaders talking about right now? What are they saying? We're tired of these leaders. We want one leader, one world leader. That's what the world leaders are saying. They're ready to step aside and say, if he's the devil, we'll accept him. That's what they've said. It says that right here, he's called the Antichrist. And he's just going to segue right into a new norm. The world's ready for him. Whether he's Satan or not, they're ready for him. One world leader. It's called the Antichrist. If you've been paying attention to the news, and unfortunately a lot of Christians are not paying attention to what's going on. If you've been paying attention, they're talking, well, how many has ever heard of global warming? Duh. What has it been changed to? Climate change. What has it been changed to again? The Great Reset. And the world leaders and all those that want to control the world, it's all about loving nature. Romans 1 again, don't worship nature, worship the Creator. Love your mother. And it's going to get back to that. It's going to, all this nature worship, that's what it is. And who's behind all that? It's going to go right into the mark of the beast. One world economy, one world money. It's all right here, and it's all right here now. What's it telling us? We're out of time. We should be sharing the gospel. We should be saying, what do you think about this world right now, neighbor? I mean, it's a mess. What do you think? Well, I don't know. Well, actually, I know. What we're seeing today, I've been reading a book for years and years and years, and it's told us what we're going to see, and we're watching it right now, and it's been in the Bible, and let me share it with you. Amen. Yeah, it takes some Christian guts to do that. It takes getting out of your comfort zone. It takes saying, God, I can't bring anything with me to heaven other than my neighbor. And so, folks, we're seeing that the world matches the word when it comes to this stuff. So what can you do? I've just given you an idea. What can you do? Why are you here? You're being equipped each week to do what? Be intentional. First of all, wake up, especially when there's a speaker. That's not special, it's just a special message. Wake up when you're watching programming that's programming you. Teenagers, wake up when you're reading a textbook. You're going to a museum or whatever. What are you reading? What are you looking at? Don't fight over dumb stuff. Be involved in church. Start a ministry. Don't compromise God's word. Read it as written. Don't add, don't subtract. And as I begin to close, don't say amen on that one, but this verse is talking about fixing something. I like to fix things. When they're broken, I want to try my best to get it fixed. And we know when we vote certain people in office, they're going to fix everything. Our government knows best. Don't trust in governments. Don't trust in anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible talks about not even trusting a friend because they're going to disappoint us too. Trust in God alone. But this verse is talking about fixing something. Well, this country's broken. It needs to be fixed. And what we're seeing today, we're the generation that's seeing. I don't know how to explain what we're seeing other than what I just said. And we should be praying, God, whatever it takes, fix this. Amen? We can't. We're messing it up. So, yep, I've done this. I trained them up in the way they should go, but they've departed. They were walking away from God, like my two children. It breaks your heart. But we've given them to God. He's got to fix it. All we can do is pray and hope that when they're old, they'll come back. They'll come to their senses and realize there is a God. And I see it all over nature. There's a Creator. Raise your hand if you're a Sunday school teacher. What should you be teaching in Sunday school? You should be teaching the real science. Because out there, a lot of it's fake. What should you be teaching? Geology and paleontology. Here, I brought my fossils that I'm going to talk about tonight. So you got geology and the fossils, which is paleontology within the Grand Canyon. Well, where's that in the Bible? It's right here, worldwide flood. I'm going to talk about it tonight. You should be teaching those things, how the world agrees with the Bible. They match. Anthropology. Well, I can't teach anthropology. I'm not an anthropologist. Wait a minute. You don't have to be an anthropologist to teach that there aren't. Everybody hold up a big zero so I see if you're awake. Come on, come on, come on. Zero. Y'all are sleeping over there. Okay, come on. Cooperate. Okay, zero, zero, zero. How many races are there in the world today? None. There aren't any races. That's an evolutionary term. And the devil loves it. And he's a divider. He's using it. Aren't you sick of that? There aren't any races, but there's one human family. Come on. There's one human family. And it goes back to Genesis 1. Again, what we see in the world agrees with the word. Zero races, one human family. Look at all those colors. Look at all those races. No, that's one color called brown. Everybody say brown. Look at all those shades of brown. If you have less melanin, you have less, you're less brown. If you have more melanin, you're darker brown. That's a good place for an amen. As I close, say amen after each one so I know how to treat you tonight when you bring three friends. God is creator. His word is infallible. Bible has answers. I don't hear anybody over there. No death before sin. No millions of years. Evolution is not true. When you have this foundation, especially young people, when they're in colleges and all of us, we have these foundations. When we're dealing with evolution everywhere, we won't be moved. We'll have a solid, true foundation. Our children go back to school tomorrow and they say, Jesus loves you, the Bible says so. Billy says, the Bible's not true. How do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? And where did Cain get his wife? I don't know, I can't tell you because I'm not able. And then they say, I told you the Bible's not true. Because you say, I don't know. And then our children come to us parents, and if we don't know the answers, how can we train the best missionaries in the world? So be ready always to give an answer. Because people are asking, what makes you a Christian? What makes you right? What makes your religion right? And we can tell them. And then last but not least, we all have a passion in here. And usually between August and February, I hear the passion in church hallways. Oh boy, do I hear the church passion in hallways of the churches. The passion come out August to February. Passion, 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 passion. Who's playing today? Who's playing today? Well, I'll tell you who's playing, and it's the church in America, and we got to get over that real quick. It's time. We are out of time. I've been hearing that for all... 60 years of being in church, the promise of his coming. Where's the promise of his coming? It's right here in the Bible. It's a verse. It says people will say that in the last day. And I think the church, a lot of people have said, nothing's different. Why is anything different today? I just showed you why it's different today. And why we have more proof we can see with our eyes that, yes, there's not much time left. I can preach my heart out. He can preach his heart out every Sunday. But it's only if you will let the Spirit move you and you get out of his way, he'll use you in great ways. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your son, Jesus. As Pastor makes his way up front, Father, the most important time of this whole day is the invitation. And there might be somebody here today that said, well, I've grown up in church all my life and I used to be this way or that way. And I used to go to this church or that church, and I'm in this church now, and I guess since I'm in this church, I'm a Christian. Nope. Going to church doesn't save you. Being a Sunday school teacher doesn't save you, and all that stuff. Jesus saves. We see the signs around us. Jesus saves. He sure does. Not churches. Father, I pray if there's somebody here today, as the music plays and invitations given, if there's somebody today, whether they're 12 or 90, they will come up front and say, I want Jesus right now. Lead me to him. I pray that might happen today. In Jesus' name, amen.